Okay, so tonight we are starting our first shiur on Birkat Hamazon, a new topic for us, and my goal is to focus this evening on the women's obligation, a woman's obligation in Birkat Hamazon. What is it? What is its nature? We would usually say in Hebrew, Ma Tivo. What is its nature? Is it Do'oraita? Is it Minat Torah? Mm-hmm. Is it Derabbanan? Is it rabbinic? Is it of questionable status? In other words, it's unclear. It's neither Do'oraita nor Midrabbanan. And we're going to see all those different approaches this evening. So if I ask any of you, what is the source or the proof text for Birkat Hamazon? I think we can all fairly easily come up with that. Right? It's the Chumash. What's the Pasuk? Anyone want to guess? Right. So look at the very first source on the top of the page. So it says, Ve'achalta v'savata uveirachta et Hashem Elokecha aha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. Okay, and you'll eat, and you'll be satisfied, and you will bless. All right, Hashem, your God, over on the land, the good land that He's given you. Okay, and of course, we're talking about if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and you're living in a society that is agricultural in nature, where will your food be coming from? From the land. From where you are. They really didn't have that many, you know, shop rights and that sort of thing where you could get food from anywhere in the world. Okay? So this is a proof text. Now, let's be halakhic Sherlock Holmes. If you look at the text, is there any indication on any level whatsoever as to whether this includes or excludes women? What would you say? Seems to be a very inclusive pasuk, correct? It seems to be very inclusive. Okay, and it's gender neutral. Okay, and if you look at each one of the things, do women eat? Yes. Are women satisfied? Yes. Ought they to then bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Avadai. Okay, and do women have as much, or is it the self-same love for the land of Israel that any man would have? 100%, maybe even more. Some of you who are avid readers of my drashot, you've noticed that I've developed that theme over the years, okay, especially when it came to the spies. The women, okay, wouldn't have acted like the spies. That's a whole different conversation, not for now. Okay, but at any rate, it seems to be gender neutral. If it's gender neutral, then we would all agree, logically, that it's what? Inclusive. All right, let's go on to the Mishnah.
Is it a mitzvah to bench?
What do you think?
I would think, yeah, but then you can have the thing that's Zaman Grama.
Is it a Zaman Grama?
I don't know, I'm asking you.
Well, can I eat at any time that I want? Can I eat bread at any time I want?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay, except, you know, obviously Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, etc. But other than that, if I decide that I'm not heavy enough and I want to eat at 2 o'clock in the morning so I know it's going to stick on my ribs, right? Can I eat bread then? And would I have an obligation? Yeah. Yep. So, in fact, it's a mitzvah to say, She'ein zman grama. Right? So, all our normal exclusions that we would normally come up with, they're not here. Okay? Let's see what the Mishnah says now. Mishnah Masechet Bracha Paragimel, Mishnah Gimel. Nashim va'avadim uketanim paturim kriyat shema. Why? You already answered.
That's
a mitzvah to say she'ein grama. Okay? Umina tefillin. For sure. And then there might be even other things related to tefillin per se. But certainly we can put it under the rubric of Mishtasei Shazman Grammar. Okay, V'chayavim b'tefilah. We discussed that, I think we started back in 2012, I think, right? That's when we started this. So we discussed that a long time ago. We pointed out then that the Zmanei ha'tefilah are all midrabbanan. The chiyuv to daven, okay, is according to the Rambam min haTorah. According to the Ramban, it's only min haTorah be'et tzara, at a time of misery, and then Meforshim on the Ramban suggest that the Ramban would agree that given the existential condition of the Jewish people, find me a day that isn't an eight sara. And so in other words, even he would agree with the Rambam. But at any rate, women are chayev in tefillah, ube mezuzah, right? So let's go with, you know, there's something in philosophy and in logic called Occam's razor. You go with the simplest explanation. It would appear that all of these are being put together because they're not mitzvot aseh, shazman grama. And last but not least, in big, bold letters, ube birkat hamazon. Okay? Now, would we all agree that tefillah, at least for the Rambam and for many others, would we all agree that that's a mitzvah min haTorah? Yeah.
Yes.
So incontrovertibly, mezuzah. No one has any she'ilot, the mezuzah. Okay, and so Pirkat HaMazon is also min haTorah. Okay, and we know that. Okay, by the way, there are two brachot in the entire Torah, and we discussed this earlier in this year, not tonight, but on another occasion. There are two brachot in the Torah that are considered to be min haTorah. One is Birchot HaTorah, right? And the other is Pirkat HaMazon. Everything else is purely and solely midrabbanan. Now, the formula per se, the madbeya of all brachot, that's midrabbanan, exactly what the form would be. But the chiyuv to say Birchot HaTorah, and the chiyuv, the obligation to say Birkat HaMazon, that's min haTorah. Okay. Now,
question.
You can always ask a question.
I mean, it's really not part of it, but if women are patern from Shema, does that include also Shema HaMita?
Yep.
Because then again, you can go to bed at any time.
Yeah, but yes, women are paturot from any and all forms of Shema. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't say it. And we did how many weeks on Shema? Okay? There's so many reasons why you should, but it's one of those mitzvot aseh that women have taken upon themselves. Okay, such as shofar, hearing the kriyat of regarding Amalek, right? The kriya of Amalek. There's a variety of things that women have taken upon themselves. Okay, Shema certainly should rank very high as one of them. Okay? Now, the Gemara that we're about to look at raises the fundamental question. Are women obligated d'oraita or midrabbanan? Okay?
Well, if it's in the Torah, you would think it would be for everyone.
You would think it's min haTorah, right? But we're going to have a whole conversation as to why. So basically, this Gemara that we're about to see is, even the parts that I didn't include that goes after the last word there of my, you know, like what's the halacha, it depends on how you learn the Gemara. Is it conclusive or is it inconclusive? Right? Tosafot, for example, says that the answer that's given after we see the discussion is inconclusive. So if it's inconclusive, then the question that was asked, is it min haTorah or is it midrabbanan, is what remains as a safek, a position we're going to see in the Rambam a little bit later. But let's look at this Gemara. This is what's called the Locus Classicus. This is the Gemara that discusses all of this, the classical source. Okay? So, Amar Le Ravina Le Rava. Ravina asked Rava. Ravina is one of the last of the Amoraim. Right? Ravina v'Ravashi, Sof Hora'ah. They were the end of the Amoraic period in some ways, and they were editors of the Gemara to a certain extent in some ways. And then, as we've discussed on other occasions, the Saboraim came after the Amoraim, and they edited the Gemara. Some Gemaras more than others. So a Gemara like Brachot, which we're about to look at, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, it's pretty much edited. So let's see what it says. Arle Ravina l'Rava, Nashim b'Birkat HaMazon. Women, when it comes to Birkat HaMazon, d'Oraita o d'Rabbanan. Right? Are they obligated min HaTorah, or are they obligated mid'Rabbanan? So it's important to point out something. I once had a Lubavitch Chavruta, and I was trained very much already, even early on, to ask the question, is it min HaTorah? Is it d'Oraita? So he looked at me one time and he says, David, you're driving yourself crazy. Doesn't make a difference. You got to do it anyway. What's the difference? Well, so then I said to him, his name was Yerucham, I said to him, Yerucham, there's a lot of differences that obtain depending on its status. If it's, for example, if you're unsure if you did bench, mm-hmm. and you're obligated mid'Oraita, then you got to go back and bench again. Right? Whereas if it's d'Rabbanan, you wouldn't have to. So he goes, but if you're an Eved Hashem, it doesn't make any difference between d'Oraita and d'Rabbanan. Which is true in the grand hashkafa of things, but still, you got to know. So the Gemara is asking, what's the status for women? So, of course, in good Jewish fashion, we ask, we have a question answering the question. L'mai nafkamina. So what's the diff? Right? What's the difference? You can see we're doing Aramaic now because we have all these olives and so forth. So, and the next word's also Aramaic. La fuke rabim yedei chovatan. So in order to fulfill the needs of others. So for example, what are we saying? Say lo aleinu, should never happen. Say there's a husband who is ill. He eats bread, and his wife eats bread, and they both eat the same amount of bread. Okay? If you say that mi'ikar hadin, the woman has the same level of obligation as the man, then what could she do? She could bench aloud. He could answer Amen, teach her the brachot, and she would be motzi him. If you say, and we're going to see this inside, if you say, however, that her obligation is only mid'Rabbanan, and his obligation is min HaTorah, then she cannot be motzia him. She cannot enable him to fulfill his mitzvah. Excuse?
Even
when he's sick. Right? Right, the most that, I mean, theoretically, and again, this is not a psak, but purely on a theoretical level, maybe she would enable him to fulfill Birkat HaMazon mid'Rabbanan, but not his obligation of min HaTorah would go wanting.
But that's not the case here.
Well, we don't know yet. Look what the Gemara says. Iyamart d'Oraita. If you say that her obligation, a woman's obligation, is min HaTorah, then ate d'Oraita umapik d'Oraita. Then one obligation of the Torah will enable someone else to fulfill their obligation from the Torah. And of course, you already know the rest because you're trained to think this way, right? V'i amar d'Rabbanan. But if you say her obligation is only what? Mid'Rabbanan. Havi she'ena mechuyav davar, then it's as if she's not obligated in the matter. Now, you got to put in the caveat. What do you mean she's not obligated? She's not obligated min ha-Torah. Is she still obligated mid-Rabbanan? Avadai. Okay? And of course, here's your problem. And this is a rule throughout all of Shas and through all of Halacha. V'chol she'eno mechuyev b'davar. And anyone who isn't obligated, right, on the self-same level as someone else, eno motzi et harabim yidei chovatan, cannot enable others to fulfill their mitzvah. Okay? Now, Rashi says that it's very possible that women are not obligated minatara because of what? Because in the very pasuk it says, al ha'aretz atova, women, okay, minatara, did not receive a nachala. They didn't receive an apportionment of the land. It went to the males. Okay, don't blame me, I only work here. It went to the males, okay, on the shevet level. So all of you have been learning a while, so you're going to say, oh, Rabbi, you forgot about Benot Zalafa. Okay, zing, I got the rabbi that time. Sorry, what did they get? So Rashi already dealt with that question. They got the apportionment of their father's nachala, but they didn't get their own nachala. And then they were big tzidkaniyot, and they married their uncles and so on and so forth. So, as we like to say jokingly, it stayed in the family. Okay, so that's one thing. Now, also in one of the brachot, we also talk about al habrit, right, and on the Torah. So, as you know, obviously women are not mechuyavot in a brit milah, for obvious reasons, and also women don't have an obligation mina Torah, right, to learn Torah. Vishinantam leva necha. May women, and you know me, I'm giving a woman share. Should women learn Torah?
Absolutely.
100%. Should they learn any part of Torah that they want to? My Rebbe certainly said yes, including Gemara, which is what, you know, we're doing. So that's the Rashi. So, and the Tosafot is the one who raises the question of Brit and Torah. Okay? So, then the question again ends with, the Gemara ends with, my, what's the halacha? So then we have a Gemara that gives sort of some answers, and it's unclear. Okay, you can go either way. Is the question really answered, or is the question not answered? So we're going to see this plays an important role in just a minute. All right, let's go on now to the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam. So we're jumping from, so Ravina lives in the 6th century. Okay, as a Ravina to Rava, right? So Ravina lives in the 6th century. Now we're jumping all the way to 1135 to 1204 with the Rambam. So now, by the way, the Rambam's formulation is absolutely, unmistakably gender neutral. Look what he says. At least the Rambam here, because he's going to change his mind. Hatzivu ishinitztavinu, the obligation that we are commanded in. Lahadotlo, to thank him. Yitaleh, may he be exalted. Literally means may he be, you know, may he rise, but we'll use regular English. Achar kol achila, after all, food. Okay, and of course we're talking here, you know, obviously if you have a hamburger without bread, you don't bench. So when he says achar kol achila, it means nobody in certainly in the 12th century could imagine a meal without bread. And as you know, we've all lived long enough, an Ashkenazi meal without bread, are you serious? Is that going to ever happen? No, of course not. So anyway, that's what achila means. It means bread. V'hu amru yitaleh. And what does it say? V'achalta, v'savata, uveirachta et Hashem elakecha. Okay. Then he brings down a tosefta. And remember from earlier classes, tosefta is from the same period as the Mishnah. But what does the word tosefta come from? Even though it's Aramaic, comes from the word in Hebrew, lahosif, to add. So tosefta is additions that did not make the cut of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right? But it's still from the same Mishnaic period. So it says, v'loshana tosefta, it says in a tosefta, birchat hamazon mina Torah. Okay? Shene amar v'chalta v'savatu v'rakta et Hashem. right? Now, guys, again, playing a halachic Sherlock Holmes, any indication this is anything other than gender neutral? Not at all. So it would appear that the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, which was written in Arabic, as was his Perush HaMishnayot, so it would appear in both of those earlier works before the Mishnah Torah that the Rambam probably held in all likelihood that women had the same obligation as men. We're going to see that changes in a minute. All right. We now move to the world of the Tur. The Tur is Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher. He's the son of the Rosh. Raised initially in Germany, moves to Spain when the Rosh's Rebbe, Rav Meir of Rottenburg, is thrown into prison in an attempt by one of the local bandits that they then called the head of that particular segment of Germany. Because remember, Germany doesn't have unification until when? 1870, right? It's a long time. It's 400 years later. So he's thrown into prison by one of these little local, you know, obnoxious sort of rulers, Rav Meir of Rottenburg, and the Rosh basically says, I'm not staying here. I can't stay here. My family is at risk. So where do they flee to? They flee to Spain. They go to Spain, and the Tur then becomes one of the most pivotal figures in all of Jewish history. Why? Not only did the Tur have the Rosh as his main Rebbe, who did he then get when he was in Spain? The Rashba. Is that amazing? So you have a confluence of two streams of halacha flowing through his halachic veins. It's an amazing individual. And he writes the Tur, which becomes the basis ultimately for what? The Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so here's what, this is in Tur Arachayim Hilchot Betziat Apat, the cutting of the bread, because there isn't anything that we do in Judaism that we don't do in a specific kind of way. Su'uda, right, a meal, u'birkat hamazon, simen kuf peivav, and what is it called? Nashim chayavod bebirkat hamazon. Women are obligated in birkat hamazon. Okay, the words that are coming up now are all from the Tur, and we're going to see the first clear statement that women are obligated min haTorah in the work of the Ra'avad. But you can't really say the Ra'avad because anybody who's been to yeshiva is going to get angry at you to say, what do you mean the Ra'avad? Oh yeah, the Ra'avad. Okay, but it really is the Ra'avad. Why? Because it's Rav Avraham ben David. Ra'avad. But okay, anyway, everyone calls it the Ra'avad. The Ra'avad lives 1125 to 1198. Okay, and he lives in Provence, southern France, and the Mediterranean. And he lived at exactly the same time as the Rambam. And as a result, he was singularly unimpressed with the Rambam. There was just another Chacham. Just like he was a Chacham, the Rambam was a Chacham. Because the Rambam to the Ravid was not the Rambam as he is to us. Okay. But at any rate, here's what the Tur says the Ravid said. Upiresha Ra'avad Shechayavot Mina Torah. Crystal clear, right? That women are obligated Mina Torah. Lulidivarov. And by the way, remember what we said earlier. If women are obligated Mina Torah, then they have the same obligation as what? Men. And therefore, if necessary, they could enable men to fulfill their obligation. And look what he says. Ulidivarov. According to the words of the Ravad, motziot acherim, they can fulfill others, including even men. Vehena amrinan, and even Chazal said in the Gemara, isha mevarechet lebaala, a woman could in fact be motzi her husband. Afil imachal shiur da'oraita, even if he ate a complete thing. In other words, he eats a kazayit, she eats a kazayit. He can be motzi. She can be motzi. Him. Interestingly enough, that's the Ra'avad. Now, Tosafot. You ready? Tosafot, basically, they're Rashi's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren in the 11th and 12th century, mostly in northern Germany and in northern France. Okay? Aval Tosafot katvu, hachbaya denashim mevarchot d'oraita od rabbanan, lo nifshata. That's the problem right there. As far as Tosafot was concerned, ba'aya, everyone knows what a ba'aya is, right? You've been to Israel, okay? Someone knocks you down and your eggs are on the ground and someone will say to you, "Ain ba'aya!" Okay, meanwhile, it's your eggs all over the ground. Okay? But the Tosafot katvu, hach ba'aya, this problem, dinashi mevarcho d'oraita ad-rabbanan, as to whether women are obligated mina Torah or mid-rabbanan, lo nifshata. It was never properly solved in the Gemara. Well, if it's not solved in the Gemara, it remains as what, everybody?
Open for discussion.
Which means it's perennially and forever a safek. Yokach, eino motziot achayrim. Therefore, women cannot be motzi others. Okay? And not only that, we have a redo. We have a, as we say in psychology, we have a reframe. Okay? You know, the kid is screaming at the mother at the top of his lungs. So the psychologist never says, "Your kid is angry and he hates you." The psychologist says, "He must have had a bad day at school." Okay? So we have a refrain here. V'hahi de'ishim avarechet labala, says Tosafot. And the statement here that the woman could be motzi your husband, it's all talking about a situation where the man ate a shear that was derabanan. And since it's possible that she's only obligated midrabanan, so can midrabanan be motzi midrabanan? Yes. Can midrabanan be motzi d'oraita?
No.
No. Got it? So far, so good? Now, the heroic Rambam, who in the Perash HaMishnayot, and as we saw, the gender-neutral, in this instance, Sefer HaMitzvot, who seemed to suggest by absence, right? Since he didn't say anything, we can assume that he held in those works that that women are obligated in Birkat HaMazon. And some many, many great scholars have just said exactly what I shared with you. However, when it comes to the Mishnah Torah, the work of Jewish law, perhaps in some ways, ultimately for all time, the work by which all other works are forever judged. When it comes to the Mishnah Torah, what does the Rambam say? Safek. Let's see it inside. Nashim ve'avadim chayavim bebirkat hamazon. If you go back to the Mishnah, it's not exactly what the Mishnah said. Okay? But, says the Rambam, even though we know women are obligated in Birkat HaMazon, the safek yesh badavar. But it's a safek. Just like who said? Tosafot. Im hein chayavin min haTorah. Why not? Now, why would they be obligated min haTorah? So this was Chaya's question. And Chaya, you are almost like a Rambam scholar, because look what the Rambam says. Lefi she'ein kavua la zaman. There's no time frame for what? Birkat HaMazon. You know, every Monday and Tuesday and whatever time. And there's a general rule. Kol mitzvot aseh she'ein lehem zaman grama, nashim chayavot behem ke anashim. Women have the same obligation as men. Okay? So let's see what he says. Lefi she'ein kavua la zaman. Oh, enan chayavin min haTorah. Or maybe they're not chayav min haTorah. So the big key word in, you know, this is like, it should be on the billboard here. Safek. Lefichach, ein motziim et hagadolim yidei chovatan. Now, why does he say the gadolim? Because could a mom bench for her kid? Avadai. Because a kid only has a mitzvah of benching l'shem chinuch, right? So it's a derabanan, so the mother who is derabanan, maybe, could certainly be motzi the child. Okay, so far so good. Please turn the paper over. Okay, now, we're going to the wonderful world of the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo, 1488 to 1475. Okay, using the same exact numbering system as the Torah, and even the same title. And the name of this siman is Im Nashim Uketanim Chayavim Beberkat HaMazon Ubo Bet Si'ifim. I only brought down one, because I only brought the one that was relevant to us in the main, which is about women. So, says the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, now by the way, remember, the Shulchan Aruch bases himself on the Rosh, the Tur, and the Rambam, and the Rif, right? All the major biggies. Okay? So, here's what he says. And you'll see it's screaming, Rambam, Rambam, Rambam. Nashim chayavod bebirkat hamazon. Women have an obligation in birkat hamazon. V'safek hu imhein chayavod midoraita. Right? But it's a safek. Are they obligated midoraita? And that's exactly what the Rambam said. The Mishnah Berurah explains it like this. Lefi shehi mitzvah taseh she'ein hazman grama. The same language we used earlier. Okay. Umotziot et ha'anashim. And thereby they can enable men to fulfill their mitzvah. Oh, einan chayavod ella midrabanan. Or maybe they're only obligated midrabanan. Ve'einan motziot ella lemish ein chiyuval ella midrabanan. So, does this Shulchan Aruch sound for all the world like the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah? Yes. Okay. Next. Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim lives 1838 to 1933. A long time. Five, right? Imagine living that long without antibiotics. It's unbelievable. Right? Because as most of you know, antibiotics weren't invented even until World War II. Right? They had some sulfa drugs and so forth, but that was it. But he lives almost 100 years. Okay? And I guess he fulfilled the title of his book, Chafetz Chaim. And what's Chafetz Chaim all about, as you all know? Lashon Hara, right? And guarding your tongue is a segula for Arichat Yamim, which he certainly had. I suppose 95, at that time in world history, would be like living to 140 today. It's like not even possible. Okay. Now, the Chafetz Chaim wrote, as you all know, the Sefer Mishnah Berurah. There isn't a home, almost, that doesn't have a Mishnah Berurah, right? It wasn't always that way. He couldn't sell it at first. No one wanted to buy it.
Controversy?
No. What do we need another, you know, summation of the Shulchan Aruch for? Okay? And then, isn't it amazing? 1933 to, it's not even 100 years. But like I said, Is there a from home that doesn't have a Mishnah Berurah? Come on, no, right? And if you had boys, okay, or sons-in-laws, you know, and they were bar mitzvahed, right? You have multiple sets usually in the same house because everybody's worried. Ulai, maybe they didn't get a Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so in the Mishnah Berurah, there's two parts. There's the Mishnah Berurah, and there's Be'ur Halacha. The Mishnah Berurah is the shorter part. The Be'ur Halacha sometimes is quite expansive. Now, what's going to come out here is that the Mishnah Berurah clearly comes out on the side that we need to really be worried about the idea that it's a pretty probable idea. It's not 100% because you can't go against the Shulchan Aruch explicitly. But it's a pretty probable idea that women do have an obligation min haTorah. And we're going to see it right now in his own words. V'da, and you should know, da'af de meshulchan aruch, even though from the shulchan aruch, mashma, it is clear, shehechzich b'dat haRambam. Well, we saw that, right? That he grabs hold of the Rambam. So, by the way, Hechzik is like Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba. Okay? He grabs onto the Rambam. V'harosh, V'hama'or, V'hariyaz, this is the or Zeruah. These are major, you know, like Rabbi Freim and I would call them heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters. Did you can see the book?
Okay.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's book?
I have it.
You have it already?
I'm sorry.
I bought it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have fun.
Okay. These are these are heavy hitters among the Rishonim. I mean, these are the creme de la creme. These are, you know, the top gun of Rishonim. Okay? V'siata, and those basically who support them. Okay, like Siata de Shemaya, those who support them. Okay? The Nashim Bebirkat Amazon, Safek Hu. Right? Iim Chayavot Medoraita. And all these heavy hitters say it's a question, are they or are they not? Who said that basically? Tosafot. It was never decided. Okay? So that's one group. So this one group is not very, you know, obviously on our side, in quotation marks, the women would be obligated min haTorah. But wait a second. If you look all the way at the bottom, I'm going to go back to the text, but I made a list of other huge, major heavy hitters and when they lived among the Rishonim and the Gaonim, who said what? The women are obligated. And that, for the Mishnah Brura, is going to be very halakhically of the moment. Let's look inside. Look what he says. Mekol makom, lo breira kuli hai. This is the Mishnah Brura speaking. Okay, if I said this, you know, you could rightfully stone me. But this is the Mishnah Brura. And he says, it's not so clear, right? It ain't necessarily so, to quote Porgy and Bess. V'yesh harbe megedole harishonim. There are many from the greatest of the Rishonim. True, it's not the Rambam, the Rosh, the Maorah, and the Riaz. But there are many great ones. The Sevir Lahu, the Heim Chayavot, Vadai. The women are obligated 100% midoraita. Very important, right? So, while it might be a suffix, you still have two camps. As I've said to you many times, when anybody asks you a question, when you're poskening, okay, well, you know, are there opinions on this? Suffice it to say, if it's anything of any level of import at all within halacha, there's multiple opinions. Okay, the old joke, four Jews, five opinions. But that's, I think, understated. It's usually four Jews, eight opinions. But anyway, he says, Ayin b'bahag. Now, who is the Bahag? So you see I have the list down there below. He lives in the 9th century. The Bahag is probably the first halachic sefer per se in, you know, as a sefer of Piskei Din. Very important among the Gaonim. The severe lay, he holds to who the Raita. He's the Raita. That the mitzvah of women in Birkat HaMazon is min haTorah. V'chein muchach b'rif. So too is it in the Rif. Now who is the Rif again? So let's remember how that goes. The Rif was the Rebbe of the Reb and Gash. The Reb and Gash was the Rebbe of Avi HaRambam. Avi HaRambam was the main Rebbe of who? The Rambam. So in fact, the Rambam himself in Perush HaMishnayot says, I only disagree with Rif 35 times.
Only
35 times. Now, remember what the Rambam did ultimately in the Mishnah Torah. He wrote from, you know, no pun intended, but from Aleph to Tav, every halacha of Judaism. And in all of that, he only disagreed with the Rif 35 times. So Rif is very, very important. So he says, Ayin Sham Heitev, look there very carefully. Ukamosha Ir Kavar HaRamban. Okay, I don't have to tell you how important the Ramban is, right? B'milchamot. Milchamot is a commentary on the Rif, in the back of the Gemara. V'chein hu da'at Rav HaGaon. Rav HaGaon, very important among the Gaonim. One of the most important of all of them. Okay? Muvasham b'milchamot. And it's brought down in the Milchamot. The Milchamot was written by the Ramban. V'chein evisham mishum yesh Gaonim. And the Ramban also brought it down in the name of other Gaonim, Ayin Sham. V'chein iskim sham HaRamban ba'atzmo. And the Ramban agrees with all of them. That what? Birkat HaMazon for women is min haTorah. V'chein udat ha'ra'avat. Okay, so too did the Ravad say that. V'hiskim gan kema Rashba. So we're talking about the biggies of the biggies of the biggies. And to save you time writing down everything, I wrote down the dates for you. So you just, you have it right there for you. All right, v'chenu da'at haritva. Okay, the Ritva was also from approximately the same time as the Rashba. Okay, over there in Sukkalah Mitchet. V'chenu gam kein da'at haran. Now you've all heard the Ran. Anytime you hear a lamda shadrasha from a Rosh Yeshiva, he always talks about the Ran. Okay? Now, you ready? Why is this all important? Did I just teach you this and learn with you? Because even though I'm a student of history, I'm just like excited about the history? No. Watch what the Be'er Halacha says. Ve'al kein. Therefore, near, and this is a psak, by the way, of the Mishnah Berurah. Ve'al kein. Nir la'aniyut da'ati. It seems, in my humble opinion, da'asomech al dat ha'sha'arei Ephraim. Those who follow the opinion of the Sha'arei Ephraim, he's one of the Achronim who precedes the Mishnah Berurah. V'sha'arei Achronim, and many other Achronim, ha'matzrichim la'ha'isha lachzor levarech, who require a woman to go back and bench. When would she have to go back and bench? If she wasn't sure. Now, I don't have to tell you, if you're running around after children, you're lucky to remember that you're, you know, to breathe on a regular basis. Okay? And it's very, very easy. Did I bench? Did I not bench? Right? So if you're obligated min haTorah, right? Safek Torah, lahachmir. Whereas Safek Rabbanan, lakula. So if you're going to say, based on these eight at the bottom that I list, major, major Rishonim and Gaonim, that women are obligated min haTorah, then you could follow, says the Mishnah Berurah, the opinion of the Sha'arei Ephraim, halacha l'maaseh. By the way, I'm not paskening. You have a shaila, you ask Rav Palakov. But in terms of what the Chafetz Chaim is saying, you could follow halacha l'maaseh, right? The Sha'arei Ephraim, the rest of the Achronim say the women should go back and bench, okay? Lo hifsid. They're not losing anything. What's the whole problem? The whole problem, of course, is safek brachot lahakel. Could it be a brachot levatala? But we don't say that if it's what? Min haTorah. Okay? We don't say if it's min haTorah. So, for example, you're traveling late at night, and, this would be Mariv. So let's say you've been driving a long time and it's in the afternoon, and you stopped at several rest stops, and you simply don't remember. Did I daven mincha? Did I not daven mincha? Okay, and for many women, mincha may be the only tefillah that they say during the day. Did I not? So what then would be the obvious? And women are obligated, all right, in tefillah. So what, if you're not sure, what would you do?
When in doubt, do it.
You do it again. Or maybe you do it the first time, because you don't know. Okay, so look what the Mishnah Berurah now says. Debalav hachi da'at harishonim hanizkarti la'el, that even if you don't want to hold by the Sha'arei Ephraim, you can always rely on the Rishonim that I mentioned earlier. Dechayevet bevadai, the women are 100% obligated, midoraita min haTorah in Birkat HaMazon. So, in relatively short order, I've given you a historical halakhic journey through the texts that are germane to very, daily practice in our own lives as to what we ought to do.